Yeah, so we thank God for another good evening that God has given us. And, you know, today is Easter Monday, or Resurrection Monday. You know,
true.
I remember in this church I used to attend when I was in campus, Easter used to be a very important time, and they still do it because they used to have all these major conferences, and always on the Sunday there will always be an overnight, so we used to call it Resurrection Night, and then we'd have an overnight till morning, and then of course other activities used to go ahead. So today we wanted to just maybe to get into the topic of today. We wanted to look at the resurrection encounters, and you know, when you think about the resurrection, resurrection basically means bringing back to life something that was dead or something that has died. For there to be a resurrection, there has to be death. I think that's the basic foundation of resurrection. And of all the religions in the world, there is no religion apart from Christianity that lays a claim on resurrection. I think that's the uniqueness of Christianity, that there is no religion of where someone, their leader, say that I'm going to die and I'm going to resurrect after the third day. There is none that says that. And that tells us that's the uniqueness of Christ, and he being the Son of God, him knowing beforehand what the scriptures had predicted and what was to be of his life, and the power that God uses to raise him from the dead. And so when we start looking at the resurrection encounters, one of the things that you must first establish is that Jesus actually died, you know. And when we read Matthew 15, we can see that verse 42 says, "Now when the evening had come, because it was a preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath." So Jesus was crucified on a Friday. He died in the afternoon at 3 p.m. There was darkness. Then Joseph of Arimathea, and there are two people who went to bury Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea and the guy who went at night. Nicodemus, they are the two who went to bury Jesus. So Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was dead already, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he has been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion that he granted the body to Joseph, and one of the things they did is when they came, they found that he was dead, so they did not break his bones. And when he was asked to confirm, they pierced the side, and water and blood came out. So Jesus was dead, and even Pilate had to be sure. In fact, he was surprised. How did he die so soon? He expected, you know, him to stay on the cross longer. And but remember, he had gone through so much torture. The night before, he had been scourged, he had been carried the cross, he was drained, he was having the nails, the thorn on the head, and all this had drained his blood. Even emotionally, remember, we'd looked at all the suffering of Christ. He even suffered emotionally in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweated, and his sweat was like drops of blood. So we can see that he died, and the body was given to Joseph, who was Arimathea. And verse 46 says, "Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb." And the Bible says, "And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Moses, Mary the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid." So what we see from the onset is that Jesus died, and according to the Jews, there was a way that the body had to be tied with linen. You can remember how Lazarus was tied, that it was impossible for Lazarus to untie himself. So the body was tied with the linen completely to ensure that, in fact, they used to have a belief that if it's tied like that, then the person cannot come out and things like that. So they ensure that the body was dressed, they have put the spices, and then they tied. Now the Jews, what if you look at their calendar, the preparation day is Friday. That is, they are preparing for Sabbath. So that one, they already count it as a day. Then the Sabbath starts in the evening of Friday until the evening of Saturday. That is, to the Jews, that is the second day. Then the third day starts from that evening of Saturday to the evening of to the evening of Sunday. So the days in the Hebrew calendar is counted. Night, it was evening and it was morning. Remember how God says when you look at the creation, it was evening and it was morning, the first day, you know, in creation. So it's evening and morning is counted as a day. So that's something that's very keen. So when we see there are mainly 3 days that are important. The preparation day, which is a Friday where he died, that's when they went. And then there's the Saturday, which is the Sabbath. And then the first day of the week, which is Sunday, which is how we understand it. So now that's how you'll count. So now on the next day, which follow the day of preparation, that means this is the Sabbath they're talking about. The chief priest, and we're reading Matthew 27:62. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day." So they remember that when Jesus said that when he was alive, he said, "After 3 days I will rise." So they said, "Let the tomb be secure until the third day." And then they said, "Lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people he has risen from the dead." So the last deception would be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now, the Pharisees and the chief priests, they remembered what Jesus had said. So they were like, in their mind, they said, "Let us seal this tomb. Let us make sure that there is no way that he will wake up. And even if the disciples come and attempt to steal the body, it will not be possible." So what do? They go and take the guard, and these are soldiers. They take Roman soldiers, and they go and guard. But what happens on the day of, on Sunday, which is the third day? And so I know you might see this on the internet, all this argument about, was Jesus crucified on, was he on a Wednesday? And, you know, and all these arguments. There's always arguments that people argue whether this is the real Jesus or the biblical Jesus and all those things. But if you understand how the calendar and how the days are counted in the Jewish calendar, then you'll understand. And Jesus said that he will rise the third day. I mean, there will be that verse where Jesus said, just as Jonah was in the tomb, was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man shall be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, that is an expression that Jesus was using. He was not necessarily saying that he will be in the grave 3 days and three nights. So just to clarify that. Now, on the day of, let's read Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, now remember Sabbath is the day after the preparation. Now, Sunday, on the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. So you can see that the first people who encountered the resurrection were actually the guards. So the guards are the ones who now, the angel came, rolled the stone from the door and sat on it, and he was bright like lightning and his clothes as white as snow, and the guards, they shook in fear and they became like dead men, and eventually they ran away. If you jump to verse 11, the Bible says, "Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest." So they ran away and went and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. Verse 12, "When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and they were as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So we can see that the Jews believed the lie of the gods. So the gods encountered the resurrection. They did not meet Christ. Yes, they only saw the angel and they saw the stone rolled away and they became like dead men and they went and reported what they saw. So we can see the first encounters of those that experienced what happened during the resurrection are the gods. So the gods decided not to believe. They saw it, but they decided not to believe. Now, the other people who now encountered, who are the first people among the disciples of Jesus who came to it, were now the women. Now, if we read again the same Matthew 28, we can see from verse 5, but the angel, and this, remember, it's the women who have come, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and the other women that are mentioned, we'll see it in the other Gospels. It says, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly out of the tomb with fear and with great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. And there they will see me. So one of the things that we see is that it is the women who actually came to, you know, to pour spices on his body, and they were wondering who will roll away the stone for us are the ones who encounter the angel. They see the stone rolled away and the angel tells them, you're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He's risen. Come and see where the place where he laid, and they went and saw it. Now, one of the things you have to acknowledge is that the women, yes, went to tell the disciples, but the disciples did not believe. Why? Because women were not highly regarded in that time. In fact, that time they will not really take the testimony of the women significant. Now, let's look at how Mark captures the encounter of the women. In Mark, he captures it this way. Let's read Mark chapter 16. From verse 1, the Bible says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices. So they mentioned the other women that were there, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large, and they entered the tomb. And they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly, fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when they rose, verse 9 says, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned, and as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. They did not believe the women. Even Luke brings in the same. And you see, when they see in Luke, says it's 2 men, they stood by them in shining garments. Luke 24, verse 5, and they were afraid. And the angel asked them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. So one of the things that we see, the angels clearly testify that you're looking for Jesus. He is not here. And it's not that he's not here that his body is stolen. No, he's not here. He is risen. And then the angels say, come and see. where he laid. So there's something about the linen, that the way the linen was put, and you know the way the body was tied, it's as if Jesus just lifted up from the linen, from the tied linen, and they could see the linen has collapsed as if it was, he was tied there. And there was a handkerchief that was on the head that was folded. And you can see, if you read from verse, they returned to the tomb and they told the disciples, verse 11 says, Luke 24:11, and their words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. So you can see that the witness of the angel clearly says he's not here, he is risen. As he told you, he will resurrect the third day. Go and tell my brothers that he will meet to you in Galilee. So we can clearly see there is a witness of the women, there is a witness of the angels, we can see the guards have witnessed, we can now see Peter entering and wondering what it was. And the interesting thing, and I've tried to cut across the gospel so that it can flow in a chronological time, we can now see Peter and John, actually John, the book of John chapter 20 verse 1 to 10 is the one that captures how it's two men are the ones who ran there, Simon Peter and John. And if you read John chapter 20, it says, so verse 4, it says, so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, that is John, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. John is describing himself. He did not go in. Verse 6 says, then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And when he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. That means it's like Jesus just got up and folded that handkerchief. And you know, according to the Jewish culture, if someone has eaten food in your house, he will fold the handkerchief, the hanky, and fold it. If he folds it, it means that he enjoyed the food and he's coming back again. I'll come back and eat your food again. I'll visit you again. But if you eat from someone's table and you're not happy with the food, you'll just crumple the handkerchief and throw it. But the way it was folded, it was already a clear message to Peter that Jesus actually got up and he said he's coming back. And the Bible says, and then verse 8, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. And the Bible says, verse 9, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he might rise again from the dead. So John actually believes. Now, immediately after John believes, then Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Remember, it's still in the morning, huh? Still in the morning. Now, Mary Magdalene did not know that it was Jesus. She assumed it was a gardener. And if you look at John 20, verse 13, they say to her, woman, why are you weeping? And then she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now, when she had said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there. And she did not know who it was, that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She was thinking him to be the gardener and said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. I want to take a pause there because this is morning. Just to remind you what has happened. The guards were guarding. The angel came, rolled the stone, sat on it. The guards shook. They were like dead men. They eventually ran away and told the chief priest. The chief priest decided to give them money. Then in the morning, the women are coming. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, Salome. They come in the morning and they are wondering who will roll away the stone. They come with spices. They find the stone rolled away. They go inside and then the angels talk with them and say, clearly, he is risen. He is not here. You're looking for Jesus that was crucified. He is not here. Just as he told you, he will be resurrected on the third day. Then eventually, they run. Jesus meets Mary Magdalene, who thinks he's the gardener. He told her, do not cling to me. I'm yet to ascend to my father. And then the women go and tell the disciples. The disciples are like, this one is like stories. They're idle tales. They have been mourning. They have been weeping. Then they run back. And they tell, and Peter and John come in. And Peter is slower than John, but then John reaches, he does not enter, but Peter comes, enters, he sees the linen clothes, he sees the handkerchiefs, he gets out and he wonders what it is. John enters the tomb, he sees the linen cloth and he believes. So John is actually one of the first people who believe. Mary Magdalene also believed because she saw that it is Jesus. And when Jesus said, Mary, she knew the voice of Jesus and said, Rabboni. And he said, teacher, which is to say teacher. And he said, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my father and your father and to my God and your God. What comes to your heart when you think up until this point? All the resurrection morning encounters. What is unique to you? What is something new that you've had today, or something new that comes to your heart that strikes to you about these encounters of resurrection morning? Maybe I'll start with that question. Misty, over to you.
Yes, Emmanuel, I mean, there was a little network interruption.
Sorry.
What are you asking? What happened?
Yeah,
in the morning?
Yeah, I'm asking what strikes you about this, the resurrection morning? What is unique? What interests you about what I've shared, yeah? Or about what we've talked about up until now, the resurrection. What is unique to you? Or what does it make you feel? How do you think about it, yeah?
Yes, what actually I think,
yeah,
the resurrection is the most, I mean, important thing for,
yeah,
the Christian. I mean, why? Because if the resurrection didn't happen, I mean, if Jesus didn't rise, then we actually didn't have any means of celebrating Christmas or, I mean, trusting Jesus as God's son. So I guess it is one of the most important thing for the Christian. And about the morning,
yeah,
I think, I mean, Jesus before dying already mentioned several times that he will be resurrected. I mean, he will rise from the dead at the third day,
yeah,
after his death. So, and the second day, I mean, the Saturday was the Sabbath day. I mean, they have to take the Jews have to take the rest. So,
yeah,
Mary or the disciples didn't go there, but they, the ladies, I mean, Mary and the others, they were, what I think, were very, I mean, they were waiting,
yeah,
when the morning will come.
Mm.
So, at the early in the morning, they rushed there. And also, as I've already mentioned, the angel was, I mean, after rolling back the stone, was sitting,
yeah,
and sat on the stone. So maybe the angel also waiting, like when people
will the women come, yeah,
when someone will come and see the, I mean, they will witness,
yes,
that Jesus has already
resurrected.
Risen.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, the morning will obviously be a very crucial, I mean, very exciting period for both the angels and the people, the disciple, I mean the ladies, and the, also then the disciple knew, and the guards. I mean, there were guards because the Jews, I mean, they might have some confusion that Jesus will rise or no, because he had mentioned it several times, but I guess they also believed that he might resurrect, he might rise. That's why there were guards, and then they were, I mean, as you have already mentioned, that they were taking action for
to prevent. Actually, then that means they had more faith. They had even faith that Jesus will resurrect. For them to even put guards, they were like.
I think actually they had the conviction. They didn't want to believe it.
Yeah, but they were like.
But they had little confusion. Oh, okay, he might resurrect, or something might happen.
Yeah.
So we better
something
take
about
action
it.
Of. Guiding the dead bodies, and then ultimately the high chief priest gave them money, and
they kept quiet,
asked them to lie.
Yes. No, thank you. Interesting. You know, that's the beauty of Bible study. You can see things from a different perspective than someone else, and it just comes to life. It just comes to life, and you know, the beauty of God's word is you can actually picture it. You can see how they come to the tomb. It's down. It's in the ground. And John looks from outside. Then Peter runs. He has to enter. He enters. He sees. He comes out. Then John enters and believes. And then can think of Mary Magdalene in the garden. And the Lord is asking, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I say, "Why have you taken the body of my Lord?" She's crying because these are people who are mourning, and they're wondering where is. At least you killed him, but at least don't deny us the body. You understand? Because they honored, because you know the Bible tells us that his body was so beaten that, you know, there was no beauty that could attract us to him. We could not recognize him, and that's maybe I'll ask Cleo, maybe you can tell us what comes to your heart up to now, up to this resurrection morning. What strikes you? What interests you?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. So I was just thinking that if God had made it to be a secretive thing, probably no one would be believing by now that indeed this resurrection went forth. But he made sure that there were witnesses, and also made certain signs that would prove that really everyone would come. He would really know that indeed what Jesus promised during his lifetime, he has really happened. So we see that God is a God who also wants to prove himself, and who wants to show himself, that indeed there should be no shadow of doubt behind his promises, or behind what he said or what he spake. So that's also one of those things that also struck me just now as we were just reading through. Like, as you can see, no matter how much people can try to hinder certain things that God has said they should come to pass, look at it. I think there are many instances where even Peter was behind the bars, and many guards were around him, but still God wanted him to be released. He was released just like that, even in that jail, that he had one very strong gate, but he still passed through. So even in this instance, there were soldiers who were guarding the tomb, but still Jesus rose again, even still beside the guards being there. And he even made a sign so that they would really testify that, oh no, indeed there is something that happened, you know. So it's really important that we know that whatever God has promised, it will surely come to pass, no matter how much the devil can try to come in and hinder. like, as you can see, that there is a conspiracy that was spoken out, that tell them that they have come and stole him away from the tomb. Yeah, it is something that could have been spread like veiled fire at some point, but still, to really prove on it, it is still not holding so much water.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that we know is that indeed many proofs were there. We see the angel that was there to testify and say he has risen again. We see the cloth that was wrapped around him, hanging in, staying there. We hear that there was an earthquake, and then the stone was rolled away.
Mm.
This is a clear kind of a narration from someone who really understood that this is something that really happened. So that's what I can say. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. No, it's really, God wanted it to be known.
Mm.
And that's really amazing. So for me, I whenever I look at this story, I now look at the evening. Eh? The same Sunday. Eh? Remember, it's we are on Sunday. Eh?
Mm.
Just resurrected in the morning. He has met the women. The disciples do not believe. They are like, the women are just playing. They are just talking. So the witness of the women is not believed. And even the disciples themselves are yet to meet Jesus. But now there are two disciples or two followers of Jesus who are going to Emmaus. And if you look at one of the biblical maps, you will see that Emmaus was one, it was like one of the, how do you call it? You can call it like one of the towns, villages that is about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Now the Bible says, let's read Luke 24 verse 13. The Bible says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together and of all these things which had happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. So look here, the disciples are walking and they are talking and Jesus draws near to them. And for me, what interests me is how the Bible says that while they conversed and reasoned, while they thought through, while they discussed, while they, you know, it's like while they were meditating about the things that have taken place, you know, while they were in that place of meditation, thinking about the things that have taken place, then Jesus draws near. And you know, the way the Bible says, whenever two or three are gathered in his name, he's right there in the midst. So even like in this moment when we are together, when you're speaking about Christ, he comes near. So while they're conversing, Jesus draws himself near and went with them. The Bible says their eyes were restrained that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Verse 18, then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? I think NIV puts it, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they say to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Remember, the Israelites were always waiting for the redemption of Israel, you know, because they were slaves of the Romans. So the even when you can think about when the father of John the Baptist, when he's praying, he say, this day we are looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So there was always a hope for the redemption of Israel. They were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this day, today is the third day since these things happened. So you can see there is a witness that this is really the third day. Hmm? Because they counted, he was crucified on the preparation day. Then the Sabbath was the second day, and the third day was the first day of the week. This is the third day. So we can see clearly the timeline that this is the Sunday of the evening. And the, verse 22 says, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. That is saying they did not see Christ. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, and here he's referring to the law, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, we are going to take a pause on it. And then the Bible says, verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to one another, did not our hearts burn with us, within us, while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scripture to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were there with them gathered with them together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in at the breaking of bread. Picture that evening. And then, you know, and even if you go to verse 36, so that you understand the whole picture. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. And they were terrified and frightened, and they supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it and ate it in their presence. So look at the evening of the resurrection. Two disciples are walking and they are wondering. They are just talking about these things. Jesus walks near them and he asks them, hey guys, why are you sad? What are you talking about? Then they said, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem? Are you the only stranger? Don't you know the things that have happened concerning Jesus of Nazareth? We thought he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, but the chief priests, they have killed him. They crucified him innocently. And on top of that, today morning, the women went, they gave us many stories. They say that they went to the tomb, they did not find his body, that he is alive. And on top of that, some brothers from ours, they ran there, they found the tomb as it was, and they came back and told us. We can't just understand these things. And then the Bible says, and he opened their understanding. He started to explain the things concerning himself, beginning with Moses and the prophets. He taught them the thing. That means he was trying to show them that when you open even the Old Testament, when you open the Bible, everything that you read there is speaking about Christ. It was pointing towards Christ. It was pointing towards the prophecies of Christ. And he expounded to them the things that pointed towards himself. And yet they were, in that moment, I'm just imagining how they're walking with Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus because the Bible says their eyes were restrained. That means it's like God did not really want them to really see him. So he hid their eyes. He closed their eyes to see, to recognize him. But there's a way that they were able to now reveal Christ. Christ was revealed to them through the scriptures. And there was a spiritual witness in their heart. What is it? Their hearts were burning. as the scripture was coming, they could feel the burning in their heart. There was that joy of the Holy Spirit entering their inner man, trying to tell them that, wow, this is true. This is what the Bible was saying. When he was led as a sheep before a shearer is silent, this is what it meant. This is actually true. This is what happened to the Christ. This is what the Bible's prophesied. Their hearts were burning. It was burning. It was burning within them. And the Bible says, and when they reached the house, Jesus indicated as if he was going. And I was smiling. I was remembering. How many times did Jesus always appear like he wanted to go away? Remember when the guys were in the boat? And the storm, and Jesus was walking on the water, and he appeared like he was passing. And I said, my friend, rabbi, teacher, don't leave us. Enter the boat. So there's a way that Jesus, God works in a way that it is you to desire him. If you don't open up your heart to him, he can pass you. He was as if he was passing. Then he said, no. But then in the breaking of the bread, when he took the bread and he blessed it, it's like he took them back to the Last Supper, when how Jesus will take bread and bless it. I'm not sure whether it was the prayer that Jesus was making that opened their eyes to see, there's no one who prays for food like this. I'm wondering, what was that blessing? He takes the bread, he blesses it, and he breaks it. And the Bible says, immediately their eyes were open. And when their eyes were open, they recognized it was him, and immediately Jesus disappears. And they said that very hour, that evening, they did not rest. They went back. They walked back until the house and told them, it is true, Jesus has risen. And the Bible says, and they were wondering, we don't believe. In that very moment, Jesus appears into them, in front of them, in front of the room. And they were worried. They were scared. They said, Then Jesus said, touch my hands and my feet. His body was available to be touched. And he says, handle me, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. That means it was the real physical body of Christ. He did not resurrect as a spirit. You know, some people will think Jesus resurrected as a spirit. No, he resurrected as a man. They could touch his hands. They could touch his feet where he was pierced. And that is why later we see even Thomas, who was not there, he says, I will not believe until I put my hands where the nails were, until I put my hands in the feet, until I hold his side. Thomas was saying he will not believe. And they were still not believing. He asked them, do you have food? Give me food. They gave him fish and honeycomb. He ate it in their presence. Look at how the Lord Jesus wanted them not to have doubt that day. That Sunday had to be completed, because these are the people who are going to carry the message for him. And on top of that, he also wants them to see that they can also see him in the scriptures. In fact, the Bible says he opens their understanding. If we continue from verse 44, Luke 24, the Bible says, and then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. You know, this is the entire Old Testament, the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And verse 45, which is the most important part, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, so there is an opening of our understanding that God gives to anyone who desires to know him, anyone who desires to understand him, anyone who desires to meet Christ through scriptures. God, through his spirit, he can open your understanding, your inner man, that you understand scriptures, that the scriptures no longer become a storybook. It becomes life. Christ comes alive. The Bible says he opened the understanding. And this is a prayer you can make. You can make and say, Christ, open my understanding. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46, thus he said to them, thus it is written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. In fact, this is a big sermon if someone wants to preach the third day. If you follow everywhere it says the third day, you will see a great, great revelations. To rise from the dead the third day, because that's a day of deliverance. That's the day when we get our breakthrough. That repentance and remission of sins, this is forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of this. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. All this is happening on the third day. All this is happening on that Sunday. And then you can see John chapter 20, verse 19, which is also that same evening. The Bible tells us, John 20, 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Remember, we are talking about that Sunday when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled together for the fear of the Jews. Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, peace be with you. He had showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad. He said again, peace to you. And he says, when he had breathed on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any of their sins, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We've seen the encounters in the morning. We can see the encounters in the evening. Encounters in the evening is the road to Emmaus. The two disciples, they see the scriptures. The Lord reveals himself to us in the scriptures. And even for us, you know, when he tells Thomas, blessed are those who have believed when they have not seen. That means he's speaking to us who will meet Christ through the scriptures. Today we meet Christ through the scriptures. When we read the scriptures, when you feel that voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, when you feel the burning in your heart, when you're hearing as someone and you can hear the burning in your heart, then you know that Christ is revealed. He is there. He is right next to you. This is how Christ wanted to be revealed. He wanted to be revealed through the scriptures after his resurrection. That's the beauty of our Lord. I'll take a pause there and just, what comes to your mind? What strikes you about the resurrection evening, about the encounters of the resurrection evening? Misty, you're welcome. What's on your heart and what strikes you?
Okay, so from this resurrection whole incident, what comes to my mind as the most important thing, that Jesus actually came in this world for a purpose.
Mm.
A purpose from his Father God. Mm. That he is living, he is staying here, is not just a mere incident. Rather, he will die, as it was, mentioned several times in the scriptures. The scriptures they were following that, you will come, the Son of the God, and will die for the, sin of the people. He will rescue them, and then he will rise again.
Yeah.
So, from the incident, by fulfilling the prophecy of this, the scriptures, Jesus actually, put a hope to the common people like us. Like, there is actually a life after the death.
Yes.
And what will happen in that life? Like, we will be residing in the heaven, or we'll go to hell, right?
Yeah.
So, there's a hope. There's a true meaning that, we will obviously be neither of the places according to our works and actions, what we are doing in this earth.
Mm.
So it is a hope as well, and also, Jesus' blood has already saved us from our sin. So now, are we living? Are we, following the life that Jesus has already given to us, instructed us? So, the thing I
good reflections. What does it mean to us today? Are we living the life, that he wants us to live? And indeed, he came for a purpose as fulfilled in the scriptures. Yeah, what's on your heart?
I see the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
If we hear that Emmaus was around 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and he had to patiently walk with them for those miles. Why? I think he was attracted by the purpose of the journey that they wanted to go to the other disciples, because it's reflected that they were going straight to where the other disciples were gathered. So on its own, he was patient enough even to wait for them to hear them speak this thing, and probably even he knew that they were going to discuss around these issues. So yeah, at times we realize that even when they are now more like revealed about the whole situation, they were explaining just like maybe how patient he might be with us as we try to establish certain truth around his name. And ultimately he will reveal himself to us. And he did the same again. He was being discussed about now by Cleopas and the other disciple when they had this encounter, and then he appears again. So probably some point interpreting this thing is that whenever Christ is discussed about, he shows up. Amen. Whenever we abide in his message and abide in his testimony, there is no other way he remains silent. He will come in to manifest himself. So it's really important for us as Christians not to have this message away from us for long. Whenever we speak about this message, he will really be there to come out and manifest himself. So as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, one thing that can make us to experience his presence more is when we speak about his testimony, when we speak, because I think if you look at it, they were testifying about the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. And this is the same gospel which we are being taught that we have to speak about it until he comes back again. Yeah, so that's something that I also am understanding from the scriptures.
Amen. Amen. When we testify about him, he shows up. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. He wants to be known, he wants to be revealed.
Yeah.
He wants to be made manifest. And today God wants to be made manifest through us. You know, we are the ones that reveal Christ to the world. No one knows about Jesus except through you and me.
Yeah.
We are the ones that point Jesus to the world. You know, some people will never see Jesus, but when they meet you, they need to find Jesus. They need to find the love of Jesus. They need to find how Jesus is patient, how his love is kind, how he's faithful, you know, how he's long-suffering. And I pray that God helps us really to stay true to his word. For today, I'll not go beyond here. Maybe we'll continue the encounters the next time we meet, and we'll be able to see how he meets the disciples when they go for fishing, how he reveals himself to Thomas, his discussions with Peter to restore him, his discussions with John, and then eventually how, even if you look at Acts, how he tells them that, you know, he shows them many infallible proofs. He speaks to them things pertaining to the kingdom. And there's a lot if you follow the timeline. Then eventually he ascends into heaven, and then the angels ask them, why are you looking up? And then later on you can see how he reveals himself to Paul. That's why Paul says, I also met him, though I consider myself one abnormally born. Then we also finally see the glorified Jesus in the book of Revelation, where John, the island of Patmos, is able to see the Lord. So all these are timelines that you can study through, and by the grace of God you can see so much about the Christ. And I pray that God has given us insight and reflections on his word and his truth. And we're going to pray and close together for today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory, we honor you. Thank you for your love, for your power, for your word, that your word is true, that you've spoken to us, that indeed where two or three are gathered in your name, you're right there in the midst of God. And today we are here to declare your testimony that you are alive, that you were not in the grave, that death could not hold you, that men wanted to hold you, but they could not, and they cannot, O God. And indeed, for that power of that resurrection is available today in our lives, in our families, in our children, in our bodies. Every dead organ comes back to life. Every dead dream comes back to life. Every dead ministry comes back to life. Every dead marriage comes back to life. Every dead organ in anybody comes back to life. Indeed, we cancel sickness, we cancel sin, we cancel the works of the devil in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the power of God to work in the lives of men, to work in the hearts of men, to destroy the forces of darkness, to cast out demons, to cast out works of the devil, to cancel every oppression of darkness, every demonic activity over your children. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Jesus, in our workplaces, in the nations of the world, oh God, that you restore life, you bring back life to economies, you bring back life to our leaders, to our nations, to our churches, oh God, that the power of Christ be alive, the power that raises from the dead, the God that calls things that are not as if they are, oh God. I thank you that this city is restored back to life, to the praise and glory of your holy name. You are faithful, you are holy, you are mighty. There is no one else like you, God. I worship you, God. I adore you. Thank you for your word that is life, oh God. Your word that is truth, your word that is gracious. We honor you, we bless your name. Renew our minds, renew our thoughts, renew our lives, oh God. Renew our studies, oh God. Renew everything that concerns us, oh God. May your name be praised, may your name be worshipped, may your name be glorified. Thank you for your word that is alive today, and that you live in us through your spirit, oh God. Thank you that we hear your voice, that we know your truth, we know your life in us. May your name be exalted and be magnified. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.